We present Kenneth Williams, Peter Jones, Derek Nimmo, and William Franklin in Just a Minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you very much. Hello and welcome to Just a Minute. And if I sound a little hoarse today, it is because I do have a head cold. But otherwise, I'm very well and our four panelists are fighting fit as usual. And as you heard, we have three of our regulars, Kenneth Williams, Derek Nimmo and Peter Jones. And we welcome as our guests for the first time to play the game, Bill Franklin. William Franklin. And as usual, I will ask them to speak, if they can, on the subject that I give them. They will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. And let us begin this show with Kenneth Williams. Kenneth, the subject is My Gambit. Would you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Ri de Lopez was a Spaniard who used this as an opening in chess. It derives from the Italian, in fact, it means to trip up. That is the derivation of the word, and consequently, if you have as a conversational gambit to somebody who's there, and they say whatever it is, you know, they're supposed to reply, and then you say, Sarah.
And Derek Nimmer has challenged
repetition
you.
Repetition of say.
Yes, you did repeat the word say.
Did I do that?
Yes.
How extraordinary.
And William Franklin.
Quite unlike me.
And you very nearly woke me up, too.
Really?
And that was William Franklin. Bill, nice to hear from you. Derek, I agree with the challenge, so you get a point for that. Can you take over the subject of My Gambit, starting now?
Of course, a frightfully good opening gambit for this game is to suck up to the chairman and pretend that he's an awfully jolly, rather distinguished, intelligent fellow. So, if I was asked to talk about my...
Peter Jones has challenged.
Deviation.
Why?
Well, I think you are an intelligent fellow. I don't think there's any need to pretend.
So you're sucking up to me as well?
Well, in my own particular way, you know.
So, what do we do, Peter? Because it wasn't, strictly speaking, deviation, but we enjoyed the challenge. Let's give Peter Jones a point for that. A point to Derek Nimmer for being interrupted, and he keeps the subject of My Gambit, and there are 18 seconds left, starting now.
It is when you sacrifice the pawn, possibly to a bishop, to establish an opening gambit in the game of chess. There are many kinds. Emperor's Green Gambit, the Red Russian Gambit, Colonel Bogey's Gambit, Uncle Frederick Holstein. That, to any chess lovers, was an absolute
rubbish. I know, absolute rubbish.
Rubbish it was. I haven't a clue what I'm talking about.
I know. But for those who maybe not know the game too well, you can repeat the words on the card more than once or twice, but not more than five times. But nobody challenged Derek. He kept going till the whistle went, which tells us that 60 seconds is up, and whoever is speaking at that moment gets an extra point. So Derek Nimmo has a strong lead at the end of the first round, and Peter Jones, will you take the next round? The subject is keeping a room tidy. You have 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
The important thing is, about keeping a room tidy, to have somewhere to put everything. And then you just put it there.
Kenneth Williams, the challenge.
Well, you just photograph.
You erred and repeated and erred and...
Yes.
Kenneth, you have the subject. 51 seconds are left. Keeping a room tidy, starting now.
The only way to do this is to decide on a place for everything and keep it down to the minimum. Then you don't get involved in low dusting, which can lead to a lot of back trouble. I can tell you about orthopedics that would make your hair curl. And the other thing you must remember, of course, is to bundle it neatly. Put your socks into the drawer and twist them into a nice...
Derek Nimmer challenge.
Three and twos.
Yes, you into the drawer and twist them into. It's a bit of a tough challenge, but it's correct. So Derek has the subject. Another point and 21 seconds. Keeping a room tidy, Derek, starting
now. Kenneth Williams does keep a room tidy because he lives in a whitewashed cell like King Philip of Spain, and anyone who's been to that particular establishment would always remark on how amazingly neat, tidy and well-cherished his establishment is. Because he has, ladies and gentlemen, a tidy mind. Isn't that something we would all want to have?
William Franklin has challenged you.
Yes, and I really quite find myself remarkable to become tidy, I think you said about three times.
It's in the word.
It's in the word.
You see, I've never had the rules. No. It's all very well. A new boy arrives in the dormitory and suddenly you get beaten for just being there.
I know they do.
It's awfully unfair.
The floor, yes.
I probably spent a lot of this evening just whining. I really will. I'm going to be awfully upset by the end of tonight. I can see that. Sorry, do carry on.
Well, no, not at all. No. I'm sure that the audience loved hearing from you, Bill. And and I'm afraid...
That may have been the truth, but I don't think you should hold it.
But anyway, tidy is on the card. You can repeat it, Bill. That's one of the rules. I'll give you the rest as we go along. At the end of the show, you might know something about it, mightn't you? 5 seconds for you, Derek, on keeping a room tidy, starting now.
A very good daily woman, or preferably a wife, will keep your room surprisingly tidy if you give them chocolate every now and again.
Once again, Derek Nimmer was speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point, and he's got many points in that round, and he's way ahead of Peter Jones and Kent Williams in second place, and William Franklin, you might not be surprised to hear, has yet to score. Derek Nimmer, the subject for you is puffin. Can you tell us something about that in 60 seconds, starting now?
Puffin used to be thought to be a flightless bird, but it's always rather like an auk or a sea parrot, it was sometimes called. The interesting thing about this is that old people in ancient times thought that you could eat it during Lent.
Kenneth Williams is challenged.
Two thoughts. Sometimes thought to be, and they thought you could eat it during Lent.
Yes. Absolutely right, Ken.
Absolutely
Jolly
right.
Jolly good, Ken.
Yes. And you have 47 seconds on Puffin, Kenneth, starting.
Well, how often we used to enjoy hearing on the BBC, here comes Puffin the mule, or and I was delighted, I must...
Peter Jones, a chance.
It wasn't Puffin the mule, it was Muffin.
Muffin the mule, yes. It wasn't Puffin.
You were going to see that.
Well, you know, you learn something every day.
Shows you that Peter Jones and I were watching it, and you weren't. You're correct.
He was too old when that was on.
Peter, you have a correct challenge. And the subject is Puffin. There are 37 seconds starting now.
It was actually the nickname of a famous film director called Anthony Asquith, for whom I had the privilege of working no fewer than three times. And I think if he were alive now, he would probably be employing me again. Because...
Derek never chucked.
Well, he wouldn't, would he? I mean, that's really... I mean, if he's employed him once, he wouldn't ask for Peter Jones a second.
He'd probably be three times.
He employed him three times, he told us that.
Oh.
He might have done it four times as well.
Oh, all right, then off we go. He employed me once. Yeah.
Peter, another point, 4 seconds, Puffin, starting now.
I would like to take this opportunity, if any other film director happens to be listening to this programme...
Derek's challenged again.
It's a film director. I'm sorry.
Yes, I'm sorry. Well, Derek got in with 1.5 seconds to go, very cleverly, and Puffin starting now.
Puffin Billy was my favourite railway train.
Derek got in before the whistle and has increased his lead at the end of the round. William Franklin, it's your turn to begin. Have you some idea of the rules now?
No.
Well, you have 60 seconds to talk on the subject of alchemy.
Alchemy was an Egyptian...
You don't know the rules. That's all right. I say now so that Ian Messer can then press his watch.
Oh, how sweet.
Yes. Otherwise, we don't get the exact time, you see.
Yes, we're in our starting blocks.
You're not starting blocks. The subject's alchemy, and you start now.
Well, Alchemy was an Egyptian entrepreneur who started life as a builder's merchant in Mersa Matru in the 18th century. Now, whilst doing the grand tour of Europe with his parents in his early 20s, he found himself sitting at a particularly lengthy mass in Cologne Cathedral. He started to gaze around at the fabric of the building and...
stare at the fabric, Derek Nimmo challenged you, actually.
Well, I'm sorry, it was a bit mean, but it was a hesitation.
I think that's most ungallant. After all, Bill's a guest on this show, and I think if you were a guest on the show, you'd want a bit of indulgence, wouldn't you? I'd have been nuts the way you attacked him.
My God, what a super chap you are.
Well, I don't like that kind of rudeness, I must say.
Actually, I didn't know you couldn't hesitate, for breath, as it were.
You mustn't hesitate or pause. Yours was a definite pause.
You've got to be a full-blown psychotic, really, to be out here.
Absolutely. Quite right. Neurotic as one as everything.
Well, I'll get that publishing encounter anyway. I do apologize.
Maybe you are a little too sane for the show, but it's a nice contribution.
No, I hope to eventually become completely deluded like the rest of them.
Surely you didn't think we were invited here to give 60-second lectures on particular subjects?
I was invited because everybody else that they knew was in an oxygen tent.
Well, on that note, with Kenneth Williams completely overcome by Derek Nimmo's challenge and Bill frankly not knowing the rules yet and Peter Jones looking there as delightful as ever. Derek Nimmo, you have the subject of alchemy and there are 37 seconds left starting
now. The alchemists of old were engaged in perpetual search for the philosopher's stone which they imagined would turn any material into gold. And the result of these many years of looking for the thing that I was talking about.
Peter Jones.
Repetition of years.
Yes, and Peter, you have the subject. There are 24 and a half seconds. Alchemy starting now.
I remember that famous play of Ben Jonson's called The Alchemist, with those great characters, Abel Drugger and two or three others.
Commander.
Yes, you couldn't remember the others in time. I'm sorry.
No, yes, sorry.
But so, Kenneth Lynn on alchemy with 14 seconds, starting now.
In alchemy, one of the most famous pieces of apparatus was the alembic, and it is referred to by the bard in an incredible speech about I will with wine wettle, so convinced of memory, the warder of the...
So, Kenneth Williams was then speaking as the whistle went. Got that extra point. He's in third place, just behind Peter Jones. They're both creeping up on our leader, Derek Nimmo, and William Franklin's still in the rear. And, Kenneth, it's your turn to begin. The subject is Hindenburg Zeppelin. Will you tell us something about that in the game, starting now?
The both of them are interesting as far as Zeppelin was a count. Ferdinand, in actual fact, von Zeppelin, who invented this dirigible, a self-propelled balloon, and the Hindenburg, so named, of course, after the field marshal who was president of Germany, and unfortunately in 1932 asked Mr. Schicklgruber to become chancellor, with, as we know, disastrous results for Britain. Well, the airship itself, well, it arrived in America. Well, I wanted to say that when it arrived in America, they had this terrible accident, you see. And what happened was this radio was actually on the airwaves saying, "She's going, she's going, she's going!" So you could actually see the thing going.
Yes. And of course, you couldn't say that because you're repeating it four times.
That's right, you see.
Yes.
You're so very good, you know. Isn't it? Why they're giving the extra money to be chairman.
Did you notice that I pressed a button?
Yes, I did notice.
Yes, I just wondered because I haven't got the rules quite straight.
Well, we're not taking notes from you pressing the button. You're a guest. I mean,
2 minutes ago, I was your close friend.
Yes, but I've altered now. I think it was very ungallant of you to interrupt me. After all, I am something of a cult.
Well, actually, it was...
I'm a known cult, aren't I? I'm one of the biggest cults going.
Yeah, Mr. Listen, Kenneth Cult. Kenneth Williams. It was Peter Jones who actually challenged you.
What a filthy creature.
You pressed as well, Bill, but your challenge came in second.
Why is Kenneth allowed to work all this overtime?
Because the audience enjoy it.
Oh.
Peter, your challenge.
What was the subject? Oh, yes. It was...
It was a hesitation.
Hesitation.
Yes. Mm. The Hindenburg Zeppelin's with you, Peter. 26 seconds left, starting now.
It's a means of transport that I've always wanted to try because it's so quiet and gentle, not particularly speedy.
Kenneth Williams.
Well, the subject is Zeppelin Hindenburg, and he says it's a form of transport I've always wanted to try. I mean, since the Hindenburg doesn't exist, how can he want to try it going on something that doesn't exist?
Because they are actually trying to bring them back. They've now used
it. No, this subject is the Zeppelin Hindenburg, yes, not airship. It's the Zeppelin Hindenburg, and you don't get more than one of this. It's a load of rubbish saying that you want to travel in it. It's like the duck that's saying I want to be in Noah's Ark.
I would just like to ask a question. May I just ask,
yes.
Has Kenneth any territorial claims to make in Europe?
done a very good job on my right ear.
Oh, yeah. You'll be in the oxygen tent with all your friends in a minute, won't you? He was on about Zeppelins. He hadn't yet got to Hindenburg. He might yet arrive there. Watch it, because you can still handle the deviation, but not yet. 19 seconds, still with you, Peter. Hindenburg Zeppelin starting now.
Airship of the Hindenburg type, as I was going to say.
challenge.
He stopped.
Yes, he was. 13 and a half seconds, Derek. Hindenburg Zeppelin starting now.
In 1918, Hindenburg Zeppelin.
Peter Jones, challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes. 12 seconds on the subject starting now.
The danger was the hydrogen, which ignited as soon as it arrived in New York. Now, with helium, as I said.
Well, that was a frenetic round in which everybody contributed something. Didn't do my voice any good. And Peter Jones has leapt forward, including getting an extra point for speaking as the whistle went. And he's 1 point behind our leader, Derek Nimmo. Kenneth Williams has fallen asleep. He's still in third place. And Bill Franklin's still training a little, but very much with us and contributing. And Peter, it's your turn to begin. The subject, getting notice. Something you need to do in just a minute, but would you talk on that subject starting now?
Getting noticed in the press can be a painful experience. I've had a happy one or two, I suppose, when one has been reviewed by distinguished critics like Harold Hobson or the late Kenneth Tynan. But when it comes to humorous comments, which have nothing to do with the television program that one has been taking part in, it can be extremely unhappy experience.
Derek,
never do experience.
26 seconds are left. Getting noticed, Derek, starting.
I was privileged to be in the audience in New Quay in Cornwall in 1948 when a young stripling with golden hair came onto the stage in the first Mrs. Fraser, and he got noticed by me and the whole audience because he was Ninian. And can you think of anyone more aptly to play that part than Kenneth Williams? He was getting noticed. There, the beginning, the threshold of this great career, an international... Sorry, Buzz, or Steve?
Yes, actually, just before the whistle went, Bill Franklin did press his buzzer. What was your challenge, Bill?
It was
hesitation.
It was a hesitation. Yes, I was going to refer to this blonde fellow next to me. It was just a piece of history, but I'll throw it in later during somebody else's hesitation.
You throw it in now, if you like.
No, it was funny, because last night, because I was talking about a play, Brian Matthew remembered seeing this thing as a young juvenile at York Theatre in Rope.
Oh, right? What a turn-up for the book. Oh, if
a
only...
A young killer, right?
Yeah, if only we had that preserved in the archive on film, eh? Wouldn't that make them sit
They've
up?
They've got and... new, very pretty young juveniles doing it right now.
Have they?
Only a few miles from here.
Really?
You shall see it.
And thus right. The wordy gig of time brings in his revenges.
And as we're on a nostalgic trip, I might tell you that I was in Repper Bromley. Kenneth Williams came round to play in the shop at Sly Corner, and we both acted together in that.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yes, all those years ago.
Yes.
And I
believe in the audience we have a party from Bromley here. Do you remember that? No, they didn't.
You surely don't think if they remembered it, they'd be here tonight.
Right. You got in with half a second to go, Bill, so you're going to get your first point.
The Did I?
Yes, getting notice starting now.
Getting...
So Bill Franklin scored, but he's still contributing what we'd love to hear in just a minute. And Derek Nimmo's the lead, Peter Jones follows, then Kenneth Williams, and Derek wins the next round. Derek, the subject is doggerel. Can you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Doggerel is all the rather messy kind of verse. You might start off with, I know a young fellow called Parsons who was always rather keen on committing arson. He wasn't much cop, and he hadn't got a shop. And that was why he always went to round houses, because he thought he might find their bugs and louses.
Peter What's Jones has challenged you.
Repetition of because.
Yes, you did say because more than once, and that was because, and so on. 45 seconds for you, Peter, on doggerel, starting now.
Doggerel is the name that poets give to poems written by other people.
Derek Nimmo, shall
I? He sort of stopped again, didn't
well,
he?
Well, he does this. He makes his point and lets somebody else make it.
Yes, I don't think there's any point in flogging a dead horse.
Derek, 37 seconds for you on doggerel starting now.
If you flog a dead horse, it's really rather coarse. And why don't you use a whip instead of a battleship? Because Hindenburg's balloon might seem like an overgrown saloon. The wonderful Kenneth Williams is known to countless millions across this fair globe of ours. I think we ought to move somewhere else. Doggerel is a very difficult thing to talk about, actually. And if you look at the English book of prose and poems published by Hennessy in 1912, they give a lot of examples of doggerel, one of which I would like to quote to you in about another 45 seconds' time to stop you from being...
So Derek Nimmo cleverly kept going until the whistle went, gained that extra point as it increased his lead, and William Franklin begins the next round. Bill, the subject for you is stage fright. Can you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
The name Yakima Canute may not be familiar to all of you any more than it slips easily off the tongue. He was, in fact, one of the great early American film stuntmen. He doubled for John Wayne in the classic movie Stagecoach. Now, when the horses bolted across the desert, our intrepid double climbed between the horses down through the shaft to get to the lead horse. He was then shot at by...
No, he didn't repeat. He said first horses and second was horse.
No, Peter,
he said double.
What? He repeated the word double.
No, that was
doubled. 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 With an E-D.
You see, you're not listening properly.
You have to pay attention on the one hand.
Well, I don't...
if your brain surgeon is on holiday, that's too bad. You'll have to let it come back.
I don't think your diction has improved since you were in New Key in
1911. No. That was Ducky Nimmo, not me.
Well,
wasn't it you?
No, it was Kenneth Williams.
Kenneth.
Kenneth there.
Yes. Could I continue? Because it was a very abusive...
Yeah. No, I disagree with the challenge. It was double
very
and
much.
Double. And, Bill, you have another point. And you have 41 seconds.
He was then shot at by...
Starting!
I've got to get out of
here. I've got to give you the now for the message to press the little trigger.
He was then...
Wait a minute, stop! Stage
you're
right.
Not holding his hand.
40 seconds, starting now.
He was then shot at by marauding Indians and dropped between the galloping flanks. After a few moments, in this position, he lowered himself onto the fast receding sand, hanging onto the traces while his body was beaten, pummeled, roughed up, and generally sandpapered. He could no longer sustain that position. He released his grip and let the pounding hooves pass by his right and left, followed by the churning wheels and axles of the coach. It could be said very reasonably that this man could not possibly ever have suffered from stage fright. It is, in fact...
Derek Nimmo challenge.
A little hesitation. He seemed to sort of look towards the audience.
Well, he was looking for a round of applause from the audience.
We didn't get one. It was actually a panic-stricken finish.
I know. You see, the thing is, they let you keep going quite a bit, Bill, because you did repeat quite a few words there. It was very dramatic and very interesting. I think you deserve the round, actually.
Repeat. Were there many?
Sand and all kinds of words.
Sand and sandpaper.
Yes, he's right, you see. There was no repetition.
9 seconds for you, Derek, on stage fright, starting now.
I wandered onto the stage of the sharp cliff.
Kenneth Williams.
A deviation. If on stage fright, he wouldn't wander, would he?
Oh, very good. I like that.
He's in a state of shock. You understand the state of shock, I'm sure.
No, I don't. I've never experienced
stage fright. I was talking about it. The other actors I was performing with.
And I'm not surprised.
What? It's a very difficult thing because actually Kenneth's right.
Of course I'm right. Absolutely right. You're a
very good chairman. I must say, you really have got your eye on the ball.
So, Kenneth, you'll have 6 seconds on stage fright starting.
It possesses us, and suddenly the fluency which once was out of command is gone out of the window, and we are made to feel like
so, Kenneth Williams was then speaking as the whistle went, and as he spoke, some of the audience left. he's now firmly in third place behind Peter Jones. Derek Nimmo is still our leader. And, Kenneth, you begin the next round. The subject, Kenneth, is press. Can you tell us something about that in the game, starting now?
The press. What an interesting subject. I never dreamed when I was a youth that I would ever be asked to contribute myself to a newspaper as grand as the Times. But it occurred. The press indicted. Come along, Kenny, actually, and do a bit for us. review this book about radio comedy. Well, I typed away and shot down to Gray's Inn Road, where a sub-editor said, I'll have to cut an awful lot of this out. You're supposed to do 200, and there's about 5 more than that here. I mean, I didn't say how many really more, because I would have been accused of repetition. Anyway, Julie appeared, and people said to me, I'd know you could actually write and be coherent on paper. You always find slightly grotesque when I carry on with the pressure. That's what they said.
So, Kenneth Williams not only started with a subject, but he finished with a subject. He brought the round to an end, and alas, he's also brought the show to an end, only because we've enjoyed playing it so much. But he gets 1 point for speaking when the whistle went, and a bonus point for not being interrupted. So another round of applause for Kenneth Williams. And let me give you the final score. Our guest, William Franklin, who's not played the game before, and let us know that he didn't know the rules, anything like that, but did contribute tremendously to the fun of the show, that he did finish in fourth place. He was a little way behind Kenneth Williams, who was just behind Peter Jones, who was a number of points behind this week's winner, Derek Nimmo. Well, we do hope you've enjoyed this week for Just a Minute, and we'll want to tune in at the same time next week when once more we take the air and we play this delightful and sometimes impossible game. Until then, from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Pete Atkin.